Welcome to Escape from Cubicle 17, Episode 10 for Tuesday, June 30th, 2009. This one is long overdue, folks. This is my interview with Bland Lemon Denton, perhaps the greatest blues player you've never heard of. It was recorded at FenCon 5 way back in October of 2008. Now, there are a few references that date it, but for the most part, time has not diminished this interview. On the other hand, I can't say the same for Bland, although I'm hoping that he will survive long enough to at least have heard this interview. Now, joining us on this podcast is his bass player, Carolyn Badcat Spector, and she helped out quite a bit, especially with the Walker. Before we go into the interview, I want to say that I am not an official spokesperson for FenCon. But I do want to say what a great convention it is. I've been to it for the last 3 years, and I plan on attending it this year. It's coming up in September, so to find out more information, dates and times, guests and all that good stuff, go to fencon.org. That's FENCON.org. One thing about this interview is that actually, I had wanted to interview Howard Waldrop instead, but alas, he was busy recovering from a heart attack. So that's kind of how I ended up with Bland. He filled in at the last second, but it turned out rather well, and I think you'll agree. Now, I have heard good news that Howard will be attending FenCon 6 this year, so with any luck, I might get to have him on the podcast. Well, enough of that. It's time for my interview with Bland Lemon Denton, with occasional commentary from Carolyn Badcat Spector. Okay, well, I think we'll go ahead and get started. And I'll think of an intro here. I want to say welcome to Escape from Cubicle 17. And today I have Bland Lemon Denton, who I guess can be best described as the world's oldest and worst bluesman. He also has with him his assistant and bass player, Caroline Badcat Spector. I want to welcome you both to the show.
Huh?
Thanks. I think.
Okay. Does he understand English or just guitar?
When he's in the mood to understand you, he will.
Okay. Cool.
Are y'all talking about me?
Oh, no. Never.
Never mind. All right.
So when you say old, are we talking presidential candidate old, or are we talking older?
I'm 113.
Oh, my goodness.
As of last April 14th.
Okay. Well, that's definitely older. So, and how should I address you? Should I address you as Bland or just BLD?
Well, sir is always good.
Okay, sir. I will do that. Since you said you're a little over 100, when did you start playing?
I'm 113 now. Are you talking about guitar?
Yes.
Or hi lie? I play hi lie as well.
Hi lie. What's a hi lie? I'm unfortunately not familiar with that.
You don't know hi lie?
No, I don't know hi lie.
You know basketball?
Yes.
Well, highlight is nothing like basketball.
Okay. Is it a sport?
Yeah, it's a sport. Sort of like handball, only you don't use your hands or a ball.
It's kind of like hurley. They use it.
I do curling, too.
Ah, curling.
You know, okay. Curling?
Yes, unfortunately, I am familiar with curling.
Of course, I grew up in the South, and we didn't have ice, and made curling difficult. But I played. We used bowling balls. We'd saw them in half because we didn't have any actual curling stones, so we were poor. We used sawed in half bowling balls, and we'd cut off a broom handle and stick it in the bowling ball holes, and use that and slide it across the mud flat. That's what we used.
Did they go very far?
Well, they'd make it. It depended on the mud flat, you know. They did all right. I was the only one who played, so it was kind of, you know, hard to score. But we were poor, and we got by.
So when you're talking about these mud flats, where were these mud flats located? Where were you born and raised?
Yodi, Mississippi.
Yodi, Mississippi. Where is that located?
Just south of iTunes.
iTunes. Is that anywhere near where Harold Waldrop was born?
He was born in Houston.
Ah, he was born in Houston.
Mississippi.
Houston, Mississippi.
Yes.
Okay. I think I know where iTunes is. It's near I-10, I think. So.
Well, that there used to be an exit off of I-10 to get to iTunes, Mississippi, but they closed it after the big lawsuit.
And when was that lawsuit?
Oh, it had something to do with Apple.
I think...
You know, somebody copyrighted the town. My bass player is acting funny. I think she's been on the goofballs again. Oh, but you wanted to know when I started playing guitar.
Yes. When did you start playing guitar?
How long have we been here? About 3 or 4 minutes.
About 3 or 4 minutes.
Or do you mean in general?
In general. Was it the 19th or the 20th century that you started playing?
Which one is this?
The 21st.
I'm never good at math. I'm 113 now. I remember I first had myself a diddly bow when I was 13. So that was 100 years ago. That was, what year is this?
2008.
Guy just looked at his watch to see what year it is. Did you notice that?
I did.
Yeah.
It doesn't actually show the year.
Yeah, that's a fancy watch. Yeah, I had a diddly bow. You know what a diddly bow is?
I'm afraid to ask, but I'll go ahead and ask. What is
diddly bow? Diddly bow is an instrument we had in the South that, you know, we didn't have any guitars or guitar strings. So what we'd do is we'd put nails up beside the screen door that goes into the house. One nail up near the top of the door, one nail down near the bottom. And we would strip the wires from the screen door and string them up on the nails. And we'd play that. And that was a diddly bow.
You had a house?
Well, it wasn't my house, or my door, or my wire, or my nails.
But you lived in a house.
No. I just played the diddly bow at the house.
I thought you said you did outside the screen door.
I did.
But you said you played it inside the house.
I never said I played inside the house. This is why you never should bring a bass player to an interview. They're really only good for standing there and doing this.
Yes, but we do it in time.
Always bragging.
I think that helps. So, when did you graduate to guitars? When did you start doing that? And what was your first guitar? What brand?
My first guitar was a cigar box guitar. It was confiscated.
Who confiscated it?
The federal government. It was a Cuban cigar box, and it wasn't allowed.
Did it have any Cuban cigars in it?
That might have been the problem. I didn't take the cigars out before I strung it up.
And when you took up the guitar, did you take up the harmonica at the same time, or was that something you added later?
I actually started playing harmonica before I started playing guitar. Oh. Because there was one just there, you know, beside the screen door. It tasted kind of funny. I'm not sure where it had been, but... This one tastes kind of funny, too, but I bought this one new, so I don't know what that's about.
Well, I hate to interrupt you, but... What inspired you to pick up the guitar and start playing the blues?
What inspired me?
Yeah.
I want nothing else to do in iTunes, or Yodi for that matter. Actually, the screen door was in iTunes, and I had to go home and, you know, curl on the mudflats in Yodi. But I suppose the reason I started playing guitar was because it was an easy way to get noticed. And as you know, young people like attention, and, mm-hmm. and I liked the attention. And when I wasn't getting enough attention from my mudflat curling, I decided to start trying to get attention by playing guitar. So I'd take my Cuban cigar box guitar down to the cotton fields. Unfortunately, they'd stopped growing cotton in that particular field about 4 or 5 years before I went down there, and there wasn't anybody there. But I went down there every day anyway, just to see if I'd get some attention. And
yeah. Well, I guess playing on the mudflats isn't exactly the best way to attract the ladies, but I guess a guitar might help you a little bit in that.
Ladies? Is that what you said?
Yes.
You can attract ladies with a guitar? Nobody told me.
Well, you can't.
Another more comments from the bass player. Of course, it's on the radio, so they can't tell what the bass players, you know, got big bottoms. No offense.
None taken.
But I tell you, I played guitar for maybe 60, 70 years going to the cotton fields. And then I started going to the juke joints. Actually, I hitched a ride on a tractor. Guy was driving by on a tractor. And I didn't mean to hitch a ride. He kind of caught on my low E string, and I was sort of drug along with him. And he stopped at a juke joint.
Mm-hmm.
And so I played at the juke joint. And there was a one-eyed pig, two chickens, and a record producer in attendance. The pig and the chickens appreciated what I was doing. The record producer did not.
Now I want to know something. In those days, did pigs wear lipstick, or is that something fairly recent?
This pig did, because it was on the prowl.
I think we might have attracted an audience here.
You're right. I had no idea, but it's true. Playing guitar does attract ladies.
Well, isn't that how you got your bass player? Or how did your bass player join the...
My bass player ain't no lady. Trust me.
Are you going to take that sitting down, Caroline?
She has
Absolutely.
To. On account of the big bottom.
Well, mud flaps, I've got them.
That sounds like a song. We ought to write that one.
I think it might work, yeah.
My career took off. I mean, in the sense that you're interviewing me today and wouldn't be interviewing me today were it not for my great watershed career moment, and that was when young Mr. James Holloman of Kansas City, Missouri, heard me. I don't know if the pig told him or the chickens told him, or if he got a bootleg cassette of the many hundreds that I sent him in the mail. He probably got one or two of them. But Mr. Jimmy Holloman invited Bland Lemon Denton to play at RoomCon.
RoomCon.
RoomCon in 2005.
And why was it called RoomCon?
It was a convention.
And held in a room?
Held in a room.
That would do it.
Now, I showed up late because I had gotten confused, and I originally began playing the gig in the men's room of the gas station across the street. The acoustics were good. The audience left a little to be desired. I preferred the pig and the chickens.
So does it require a wide stance to play in a men's room?
A wide what?
Stance.
Stance? as you can see, I play sitting down. I don't know what stance is involved here. Oh, wait a minute. Get your foot back. Get that foot. Put that back over there. But anyway, eventually they came and found me. Somebody tapped my foot from the next stall and said, hey, you're in the wrong place. So I wound up playing the gig at RoomCon. And lo and behold, the crowd was incredibly drunk. And they did enjoy my music.
It's the best way to enjoy it.
Now, I know a lot of musicians get a request for this song, and you've probably gotten it requested, you know, God knows how many times.
If you say
But I'm not going to request it. The thing is that I got to hear another musician by the name of George Robb. He does his own podcast called the Geologic Podcast, and I got to see him perform at a concert at Balticon. And someone called out that infamous song, the F song, and he said, you know, if you want to request a song, request Whip and Post. Because he says that means you know something, you know. But anyway, so is there a song that you'd like people to request rather than the F song?
Well, I tell you, there are two most popularly requested songs, most commonly requested songs. The first is the F song, as you say. Which goes like this. The second most commonly
involves stairs, right?
Second most commonly requested song is any song I don't know. Which seems to be
most of them.
Most of them, unfortunately. I know almost as many songs as years I've been alive, but sadly, no one ever seems to request those. My drummer's not here. Got my bass player here, but my drummer's not here.
Well, I got to see your concert this afternoon, and I must say, I was just blown away by it, and I was very impressed by it. You performed with, we have Caroline Badcat Spector, and who else was in the band, and what did they play?
Well, Mr. David Lee Anderson, I've been playing with him for a few years. Mr. David Lee Psychobot Anderson, he wrote a song called Psychobot, and it was autobiographical, so we've been calling that ever since. He's a very fine guitar player, never really knows where he is. But it doesn't really matter, because as long as you can prop him up in front of a microphone and put a guitar in his hands and say, David Lee, it's in A, he can generally follow along.
And I must say, your drum player had a very big cajon.
Get your foot back over there. Yes, he was playing. I actually owned that. He was playing with my cajon, as a matter of fact.
Actually, he's saying that he's going to get another cajon, so he'll have two big cajons
to
play
with.
I know,
he'll have two big cajons. Well, one of them will be my big cajon, and the other one will be his big cajon.
Oh, and he can play with both of them at the same time.
Apparently, yeah.
And for those of you who aren't familiar with cajons, they are a large rectangular box, which is used for percussion.
Sure they are.
Well, I guess, you know, some
more
people...
More from the big bottom.
Of course, I guess some people, you know, they just don't have big enough cajons, and they call them castanets, so.
Well, we make fun of our drummer a lot, but I actually have great affection for drummers. I even wrote a song about my favorite drummer.
Well, can we hear it?
Sure.
Oh, wait a minute. We didn't introduce Bob, though.
Oh, yes.
Bob? Oh, yeah, the drummer. Yeah,
yes.
I introduced David Lee. You already know Caroline Big Bad Cat Inspector. What? She seems to be taking offense to something.
Never.
David Lee Anderson on guitar, Caroline Badcat Spector on bass, and Bob the French Bean Yeager on drums, or in the case of this afternoon's concert, cajon, which is a Peruvian / Cuban, again with the Cubans. You know, I had to smuggle this one in. But it is a, as you say, a large box that you sit on. This one has guitar strings strung inside the front plate so that you get kind of a buzz like a snare drum.
Ah, okay.
And if you play the box up near the top where you're sitting, it sounds like a snare drum. The farther down you play it, it sounds like tom-tom or like a bass drum. So you can make the cajon sound like virtually an entire drum kit. And Bob's very good at making it do that.
And what's this song called?
This is a song about my favorite drummer. Although Bob is rapidly becoming my favorite drummer, this guy's still my favorite drummer. Your sympathy may not mean that you love me, but getting what you want is hard alone. Well, I know that you need a man who'll start you up. Well, I know that you want a rolling stone. But honey, I ain't no Ronnie, I ain't no Keith, I sure as hell ain't Mick. There ain't no models throwing keys at me. I ain't charismatic, but there's two things that I got. I got your beat, I got your back. Baby, I can be your Charlie Watts. Well, I can't promise instant satisfaction, but I believe that time is on our side. So let's just spend the night and I will give you shelter. Come live with me, we can play with fire. And honey, I ain't no Ronnie, I ain't no Keith, sure as hell ain't Mick. There ain't no models throwing keys at me. I ain't charismatic, but there's two things that I got. I got your beat, I got your back. Baby, I can be your Charlie Watts. Every guitar needs a picker, and every singer needs a song, and every backbeat needs a rhythm, and I need to feel your heart beating strong all night long. Sympathy may not mean that you love me. Getting what you want is hard alone. Well, I know that you need a man who'll start you up. I know that you want a rolling stone. But honey, I ain't no Ronnie, I ain't no Keith, sure as hell ain't Mick. There ain't no models throwing keys at me. I ain't charismatic, but there's two things that I got. I got your beat, I got your back. Baby, I can be your Charlie Watts. I can be your Charlie Watts. Let me be your Charlie Watts. He's my favorite drummer.
Excellent. Excellent. So I do have one question about the song. Since they don't throw keys at you, what do they throw at you?
Bowling balls cut in half, mostly.
Do they have sticks attached to them?
They do. It helps them get distance. You know, I never should have told the bowling ball curling story. Well, you know, I told you because it's already out there, but my fans tend to throw the half bowling balls now. They think it's a compliment, but it does become problematic.
Especially if they hit you.
It's only good on mud flats, I keep telling them.
So Bland, what are some of your musical influences? Is there any particular performers that just really stand out that just, you know, you...
Well, if I'm going to be serious for just a moment, There are many musicians I admire greatly. They would not appreciate knowing that I admire them greatly. But I'll tell you anyway. I'm a big fan of all the younger musicians. Younger musicians like old B.B. King. Younger musicians like John Lee Hooker. Like the late Albert King, died very young. Infants like Keith Richards and Eric Clapton and zygotes like Robert Cray. All great. I admire them all greatly, but none of them acknowledge their influence, the influence that I've had on them. Because Mr. Clapton told me once, when he was trying to figure out how to do a lick, he came to the juke joint, and I didn't see him. He said he stood in the back behind the pig and the chickens. And he listened to me playing the Crossroad Blues. And he said after that he knew exactly how not to do it. And ever since, whenever he became confused about how to do a lick, he would come to the juke joint behind the pig and the chickens and listen to me and then do things exactly the other way.
Yeah, I think there was a movie about Crossroads. It had some kid in it. What, Ralph Macchio?
Isn't that a kind of cannoli? What the heck is a Ralph Macchio? Sounds like some kind of coffee drink.
He's some young actor who's made a number of famous movies, although he hadn't done anything in a while, though.
But actually, I'm fooling with you. I saw that movie. I saw that movie. He was playing a Telecaster throughout most of it. And I recall there was a big playoff with either the devil or the devil's representative or something like that, who was played by Steve Vai, which was absolutely not the right guitar player for a blues showdown, I didn't feel. But it wasn't a bad movie. It just wasn't a good one.
Yeah, I think after that movie, after leaving the devil's gig, I think he went to go play for, was it David Lee Roth or somebody? I can't remember who it was, but something along those
lines. Oh, he's a good player. Yeah. He's a good player. I just don't think he really plays the blues much. He needs to come listen to me, and then he'll definitely play the blues.
So I guess the next question is, you know, since you are unacknowledged as an influence of a lot of these musicians, are there any have you played with anybody famous?
You're talking about music? My bass player's giving me a look. I do have a life outside the band, you know. I've got the mud flat curling. Yeah.
Now I know. You know, in addition to musical influences, I know some musicians, you know, they are influenced by writers. Are there any writers that you find particularly inspiring?
Well, once again, if I name their names, they might not appreciate it too much. As far as playing the blues is concerned, I think you can read Mr. William Faulkner and come away feeling the blues. I think you can read some stories by Mr. Howard Waldrop. If you read A Dozen Tough Jobs, that is novella length blues right there. That's like a blues song at novella length.
Now you were playing a song by a really obscure writer earlier today. I think his name Brad Denton.
Yeah.
Now, is he any relation to you?
He wishes. He wishes. Guy's kind of a milquetoast if you want to come right down to it. Everybody's always telling him he looks like Eric Clapton, which makes me dislike him even more. Let's see, what song by him did I play? I don't even remember.
Well, I think there was a song called
Forgiveness,
but there was a song before that.
DNA Blues.
DNA Blues.
DNA Blues, yeah. I'm not going to play the whole thing. Yeah, I just played the whole thing. I'll just give it a little bit.
Okay.
Eve done bit the apple. And Abel slain by Cain. And there's a man beating his woman. And she's begging him to stay. Man was born to trouble. The sparks fly up and drift away. You know you'd do the same thing. It's down there in your DNA. Not too bad a song. He played it in
no.
B. He wrote it in B minor, so I feel like I have to play it B minor. B minor is the second saddest key after D minor.
D minor is the saddest key.
Yes, so. You learned that from if you've ever seen, there's a young band called Spinal Tap, mm-hmm. and their guitar player Nigel Tufnel wrote mm-hmm. a rock opera, taking a page from Mr. Pete Townsend, wrote a rock opera, and the most moving song in the rock opera was written in D minor, which he explained is the saddest key. And if you hear it, let me play it. That's a D minor right there. Mm-hmm. As you can see, that sounds very sad.
Okay, let me see if I can get my turn this up to 11 here, and we'll get maybe hear a little bit more of that.
Well, what was the name of that song? Do you recall?
It was, Lick My Love Pump. It was a very heartfelt and moving love song.
Yeah, I think I saw that documentary. It was pretty good. I was particularly impressed when they released their Black album, and they didn't have any way of signing the cover because it was black.
Oh, you're talking about Smell the Glove.
Yes.
Yes, which is often referred to as the Black Album. Sometimes you make me feel like a thief, like I'm convicted and won't get no reprieve. It's like you keep me in the prison of your heart. If you can't take me as I am, well then maybe we should part. Send me off to Botany Bay. If you don't want me here, well, I don't want to stay. Put me in exile, and we'll both be okay. Just ship me and a baby way down south. Send me to Botany Bay. That was the first verse of my song entitled Botany Bay. And it is, I'm very proud of this. It is, to this day, the only song I know of that uses the 1788 expulsion of convicts from Great Britain, exiled to the continent of Australia. It uses that exodus of the criminals and the dregs of British society as a metaphor for lost love. There may be others. It's just the only one I know of.
Ah, well, I think I've heard a few others. I want to get back to the writer influences. Now, I understand that at this convention there was supposed to be. I don't know how well you know Harold Walder, but he was supposed to be at this convention. He wasn't able to make it, and I heard some stories about him that were pretty interesting. And I was wondering how well you knew him. And
oh, I know the boy pretty well, better than he would like, and far, far, far better than I would like, but.
So do you have any stories to tell about Howard that you'd like to share?
There are many, many stories about Howard. I mean, when he went into the hospital, for example, he had a coronary event. You know, I like the way they describe that as coronary event. It's like something you buy popcorn and go take the kids to see. Come on, kids. We're going to go down. Carnival's come to town. They're going to have a coronary event. Oh, boy, coronary event. In practice, it's not as much fun. But anyway, Howard was in the hospital after having had his coronary event. And they informed him after running the test that at some point in the past, he had had a heart attack that he did not know about.
Silent heart attack.
A silent heart attack. That is what they call it, apparently, when you have a heart attack, but you do not know that you have had a heart attack. Howard was telling me this when I came to visit him, and he said, "They tell me I had a silent heart attack." And then he leans forward and he tells me, "I'm sure it was during vigorous sex." And I said, "Yes, and since you were alone, there was no one to notice." He didn't appreciate that. Actually, that's not true. He did. He laughed quite uproariously. I was very happy.
Well, that's good. Well, we wish him all the best, and hopefully he'll be returning to the convention circuit soon enough.
I am quite certain that he will. As the saying goes, just try to keep him away. Goodness knows I've tried. No, but as I said, Howard has written some stories that are the blues. Dozen Tough Jobs, that's the blues. Do you want to dance? That's the blues. Even the ugly chickens in a zoological sense is the blues.
Yeah.
Because it's about wanting something and not being able to get it. And a lot of Howard stories are like that. And yet, at the same time, they're funny. And that is sort of the crust of the biscuit, as my bass player would say, when it comes to Howard, is that no matter how dark things get, he is able to see the humor in them.
Well, that's good.
He's not able to make other people see it, but...
Well, Bland, well, Caroline, I think we're about out of time. And what if you'd like to end maybe on a short song or something like that to kind of take us out, I want to thank both of you for being on Escape from Cubicle 17. And I appreciate you sharing me your stories and your songs with me.
That's no problem.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah. I want to thank Caroline for, you know, wheeling me up so that I could do the gig. You know, she gets around pretty well for a bass player, you know, with the handicap and all.
And the enormous ass.
Yes. Well, it's a big bottom when you're a bass player. You know, you have to... let's see. Let's do one that's not mine. They're gonna put me in the movies. They're gonna make a big star out of me. Gonna make a film about a man who's sad and lonely. And all I gotta do is act naturally. Well, I'll bet you I'm gonna be a big star. I might win an Oscar, you can never tell. Yeah, they all say I'm gonna be a big star. 'Cause I can play the part so well. Well, I hope you come see me in the movies. But then I know that you will plainly see. Just the biggest fool that ever hit the big time. And all I gotta do is act naturally. Now, that, even though you don't think of it as the blues, friends, that's the blues.
And thank you for listening to Escape from Cubicle 17.